Psalm 29 tells us, give unto the Lord the glory, do his name. In the aftermath of this worship chorus, would you do that from where you are, offering his glory unto him? Lord Jesus, you are glorious. We can't add any to you, for you are righteous and true, holy and pure. But we ascribe to you glory. We acknowledge, Lord God, that you deserve it all. And we bless your glorious name. Amen. Amen. And when we consciously ascribe glory to him, we know that he always shows up. Amen. He always meets with us. This has been certainly a different type of gathering for APC for some time now, but he's with us. He's in our midst as we gather in his name. Technology can't stop the flow of God's presence, can it? He moves, he ministers, his will is done as we open our hearts to him. So thank God for the glorious atmosphere we are in, and I know by faith you're in that as well, as you've responded to his presence and given him glory. Amen. I do want to add my welcome to everyone that has joined the live stream today. Thanks for doing that. And I'll also add my gratefulness for the opportunity to bring to you a message from the Word of the Lord today. This is the 14th live stream service, and I last spoke on the second live stream service. So they've given you plenty of time to recover from that for this 14th time around, and hopefully we won't go another 12 weeks. This would have been this weekend, if things had gone as originally planned, this would have been Children's Revival weekend. We would have had a service last night, had one right now, and then wrap it all up this evening. Unfortunately, coronavirus changed all of that. But I did want to take advantage of this opportunity to acknowledge it. I thought about us having sing the children's song, Father Abraham. And then I thought about it some more, and we're not going to do that. But I did want to take this chance to honor all of our children's church workers. Those of you, we call it Power Up Kids Ministry here at APC. And thanks to all of you that volunteer your time on Wednesday nights. Kevin and Hannah Cramper oversee a team. They schedule them and make sure that each month we have services for that age group up to about age 11 or so. And we thank them for that. Of course, Children's Revival itself, the annual event, the Brewers, the Crampers, and a great creative team that they have put together a special weekend. And I apologize, though it's my fault, not my fault, but I apologize you didn't get to bring your plans to fruition this year. But I know you are already working on that. I just wanted you to know we're grateful for what you did. And then, of course, Sunday mornings in this very time slot, Theo and Chrissy Woolery and Sheila Swift, and there might even be others. I know that's the core team. They also have a children's church service going on while we're all in the sanctuary. So just a perfect opportunity to say thanks to all of you that work with our children. We believe in them, and I know you do, and volunteer your time. And the audience, such as it is clapping for you right now. So thank you so much for that. And also, of course, on Sundays, we do have Sunday school ordinarily from 10 to 11. That's been on hold for quite some time. So I'll give a big shout out to our Sunday school personnel. I even got a picture of Julie sent to me on my phone sitting over in the administrative area where she's at each Sunday. So thanks for that, Julie. And, of course, to all of you teachers, I know you've had a long vacation, and I trust that you miss your students. If you don't tell me, okay? But I know you do, and you're eagerly looking forward to getting back with them, students of all ages. And this is also a perfect time to say thanks to you for all of your hard work week in and week out ministering the Word of the Lord. You have a vital ministry. We've told you that time and again, but it remains true. And so thanks for that. And then one more Sunday school item or children's ministry item. As you know, we at the beginning of each year launch a Save Our Children offering drive. And that started in January, and the mid-March time frame sort of changed things. We were overshadowed by COVID-19 and all of the quarantine, which we went ahead and still targeted Easter, April 12th, for our offering date. And of course, we had till this past Thursday to get it all turned in, wrapped up. Last year, if you don't remember, we were able to give a little over $13,100. That was a record for our church. Now, this year, of course, with coronavirus overshadowing the giving and so forth, that has had an effect, and we weren't able to all give together like we typically do. So once all the offerings came in and the numbers were crunched, we are giving this year in 2020 $14,729, and somebody threw in a nickel. So this is for our young people. This was before we had PowerPoint slides if you can read that, $14,729.05 given. That does set a record, and certainly it's clear that COVID-19 or not, APC did not let it hinder them. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your generosity. Some of you, I know, gave out of the, as the widow woman there in the gospel gave out of all your living, quote unquote, and I appreciate that so much. But more importantly, the children's ministry appreciates it here in Missouri District as well as United Pentecostal Church. So thanks very much, and we're thrilled about that, and we'll celebrate some more when we can do it in style. How's that? But do thank you so much for it. Last week, I'd be remiss if I didn't take just a moment to acknowledge Brad DeLong's message. I call him Brad. I shouldn't. Brother DeLong. There we go. And he's looking at me real mean right now. Not really. But his message, I love the church. And I think it was heartwarming for all of us just to think about the church at large, and then particularly the local assembly here at APC that God has enabled us to be a part of. It prompted several notes to the office staff. And I know I speak for the office staff. Thank you so much for sending a note of appreciation, encouragement to us. We've got them over there on the counter where we can all take a glance. And we thank you, those of you that have done that. I personally received a note from one of our students addressed to the greatest associate pastor in all the known world. And I thank Allison Trask for sending that. In fact, it meant so much. I have the envelope here with me. And, oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say to the greatest associate pastor in the known world. It's addressed, hey, you. Oh, well, it's the thought that counts. Thank you so much, Allison, for sending that in to me. It really made my day, as you can imagine. And we sometimes talk in America here about national pride, but I think it's okay in that sense that we have a little church pride, and that's what came shining through in Brother Brad DeLong's message last Sunday. And it prompted in my mind a poem, and I guess this speaks to church pride. Years ago, our young people won't remember him, but a man named Marshall Stratford attended this church for well over 30 years, and he was known for writing poems, and he wrote one that specifically focused on our old location, 13th and Gravois. Those were the cross street names, and we actually were known more by that than we were the actual name of the church. And he wrote a poem focusing on that I wanted to share. This will bring back some memories for those of you that remember him and remember the poem, and hopefully it will be something applicable to us today. It's entitled, appropriately enough, 13th and Gravois. Folks tell about old friends they've met and old familiar faces. They tell about old times they've had and old familiar places. So let me tell you about a place that lingers in my heart. For the things that I've experienced there, for me, shall ne'er depart. 13th and Gravois is the place that I'd like to tell about. That's where I go to worship God and sing and pray and shout. That's where I raise my hands toward heaven and the songs of Zion I sing. And praise and magnify the name of God, the eternal King. That's where I've seen the power of God fall on both old and young. I've seen folks filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in another tongue. Yes, the things that I've experienced there by money cannot be bought. You can even bring your children there, and the Word of God they're taught. These are only a few of the things that I've seen happen there, for there are numerous other ways to which God has answered prayers. There are many places where I could go and places where I could be, but 13th and Gravois is the place that means the most to me. Of course, Brother Marshall Stratford, in writing that, was not so much focused on the building, because we know a church is not the building, it's believers, called out believers to assemble. But he was focusing on that place and the believers who met and the God, more importantly, who met with them. And even in that poem, he references times where the power of God changed lives, turned people around and ministered and encouraged. And those are the kinds of things that he was uplifting. So I think it's applicable, even though we've moved since 2004. We're at 901 Berwicksview Road. I think the spirit of that poem still applies to us as we gather here. And again, it's not the building, but this is where we often meet, and God meets with us, and we are able to experience changed lives. And we've got a lot of new people in this congregation to prove that God's still in the life-changing business. Amen? He truly is. And I think it would be great if you know someone that is blessed with this talent. I think it'd be great if we had a new poem for 901 Berwicksview Road. So if you know anyone that writes poems, if someone comes to mind, let them know that you'd like them or him or her, to know that we would enjoy having a poem written about this place. Are you thinking of someone? Keep thinking. Of course, the family of God is a treasure, and I do want to welcome any guests that are here. I hope that with this little preamble that you sense, we love one another around here, and we are no respecter of persons. The family of God is open to everyone, and I hope that you, when the opportunity comes, if you've not done it yet, please visit us in person. We know that you will be impacted by the presence of God and the love of His people, and we are always wanting more people to be a part of God's family in these last days. My message today is about finishing, and particularly finishing with excellence. Finishing with excellence is very important in every phase of life. It matters with your education, career, finances, especially when it comes to savings, your marriage, your family, and other relationships in life. And certainly, finishing with excellence is very important when it comes to your walk with God. Jesus spoke of finishing the race this way: "He that endures to the end shall be saved." And with those words, Jesus makes it clear that starting is one thing, absolutely important, but finishing is another. And that's so critical. If we're going to be saved, I love this about God and His relationship with us. He does not insist that we finish first, but He does insist that we finish, that we endure all the way to the end. It's not signing up for the race or getting into the starting position or even bursting with great speed at the sound of the gun that really counts. While all of that's necessary, it's finishing that makes the difference. Starting is one thing. Finishing is another. And Jesus says it's not enough to endure for a while. We must endure to the end. We must go all the way to the finish line and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you would join with me in prayer that God's word would have its intended effect on our hearts today. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is anointed. It does not return void, and I'm humbly praying now that these few thoughts that I'll share will touch people's hearts, and that your word, most importantly, combined with your spirit, will bring the impact necessary to encourage people, to strengthen them, and to have their lives be put on track to make it every step of this Christian journey. And I pray that you would do these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. Back in 1968, and yes, outlet students, I was alive, the Summer Olympics were held in Mexico City. Africa's marathon champion, John Stephen Akari of Tanzania, had been expected to do well. But after the race started, at some point, John Stephen fell. He badly cut his knee and also dislocated a shoulder joint. By 7 that evening, a runner from Ethiopia had won the marathon, and 73 of the 74 competitors had crossed the finish line. There were just a few thousand spectators left, and I've read different accounts. Some said that they got news and kind of came back to the stadium, but regardless, there were a few thousand spectators on hand in the Olympic Stadium when John Stephen came limping in, bloodied and bandaged. Bud Greenspan is a sports photographer. He's since passed away, but he's known for documenting lots of Olympic moments. And he was reportedly packing up his camera when he noticed John Stephen's arrival. Again, he got word and got back there hurriedly. But bottom line, he was there with his equipment, and he captured John Stephen's final lap on film and then later asked him the question that everybody had on their minds. Bud Greenspan said, "Being in such pain and in absolute last place, why didn't you just stop? Why didn't you just give up and retire from the race?" And one report said that John Stephen appeared perplexed when that question was asked of him. He reportedly said, "You don't understand. My country did not send me 9,000 miles to start the race. My country sent me 9,000 miles to finish the race." And clearly, in the spiritual realm, God has the same intention for you and me. He's not called any of us to this narrow pathway that leads to life to see us sidetracked or to see us stopped. He called us to finish, the finish line. That means you got to keep going. Feeling good, feeling bad, keep going. Uphill or downhill, keep going. Rain or shine, keep going. Heat or cold, keep going. Rested or tired, keep going. Day in, day out, week after week, month after month, year after year, until the trumpet sounds, we have to keep going. There will be times when we want to give up. Let's just be candid. Our pain seems to have no end. Hopelessness is all we can see in given circumstances. But today, hear this. You may be, as to use the analogy with John Stephen, you may be bloodied and bandaged today. But remember the goal. Keep the prize of everlasting life in view, because that's what all of this is about, that we might live forever with Jesus Christ. Wherever you might find yourself in the Christian race today, this is very simplistic, but whatever circumstances you are in, here it is, don't give up. Don't give up. Please keep running the race. There are lots of reasons why some people don't finish well. That's true in sports. It's true in careers, relationships. And there are also numerous stumbling blocks that can keep us from finishing with excellence. Just to name a few: bitterness, jealousy, illness, doubt, materialism, burnout, moral failure, social or cultural pressure. These things and more can cause us to not finish the race. But in the words of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Running with patience in this instance is the same as saying run with endurance, or run for the long haul. I know this doesn't sound real spiritual, and please don't misunderstand prayer, fasting, the Word of God, church attendance, all of those things that are hallmarks of spirituality and contribute to it. They are absolutely important. This doesn't sound too spiritual, but you know, one of the keys to a victorious Christian life is endurance. You just have to stay with it. If you want to run the race and cross the finish line, if you want to be saved in the end of time, then you've got to hang in there. You just got to endure, no matter the challenge, no matter the problem, no matter the opposition, no matter the circumstances. You've got to persevere, continue, keep trying. It does require stamina and fortitude, or if I could say it this way, just plain old grit and guts. That's what it requires of us at times. Finishing with excellence calls for an indomitable spirit, one that's resolute, one that's determined. I'd already planned to bring this message to you and even to share this story that I'm about to present when earlier this week, through Messenger on Facebook, one of our members, Rhonda Winterhalter, her face is displayed right over there, sent me a message. This was back on Tuesday, and I didn't get around to listening to it till several days later, but said the Lord laid me on her heart, and she sent me a music video of a song entitled Fight On Fighter. Fight on fighter. And that's the mindset, the attitude that we've got to have if we're going to finish with excellence. Chuck Swindoll tells the story at the end of the 19th century. A boxer named Gentleman Jim Corbett held the heavyweight championship title of the world for 5 consecutive years. And when someone asked him the key to it, he answered with these words. I'm quoting, "Fight one more round. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black, fight one more round. When you are so tired that you wish your opponent would just crack you on the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round. Always remembering that the man who fights one more round is never whipped. Spiritually, emotionally, you may be tired, but this simple little message is fight one more round. You may be hurt emotionally, spiritually. Fight one more round. You may be mentally exhausted, but fight one more round. Fight on and finish this course with excellence. Along with running with endurance, Hebrews tells us we have to run the race that is set before us. I know you can tell by looking, but I'm not the most athletic person in the world, and that was true even when I was a kid. But in 8th grade field and track at our elementary school there in South St. Louis, There came a certain time of the year when we in gym class would have track and field, and back then it was called the 50-yard dash, the 300-yard run walk, and I never once remember, and I've never heard of any runner doing this, I never once remember us lining up at the starting point and then coach blowing the whistle, signifying we're supposed to take off, for us to turn around and run the opposite direction. I don't remember us running, looking over our shoulder, because the race wasn't behind us. The finish line was out in front of us. And that's what Hebrews says. We've got to run the race that is set before us. In our effort to finish with excellence, we can't be haunted by what's behind us. Or in other words, past mistakes. And we all have them. One of the sad realities of life is we make mistakes and we fail. We fail tests in school, sometimes entire subjects. We fail to meet expectations in relationships, maybe on the job. We fail to fulfill obligations sometimes. And worst of all, we fail God. But in those times, we've got to remember God's word says His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice, if you will, it says all unrighteousness. God's forgiveness is complete. Isaiah 38:17 says, God cast all of our sins behind His back. They're out of His view. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far He's removed our transgressions from us. They just don't come back. Micah 7:19 says that God will subdue our iniquities and cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea so that they can't be seen again. If we will confess our sins, God's faithful. Every time, every instance, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and with that forgiveness, He also forgets. Gets it out of His view, behind His back, beneath the depths of the sea. He is a completely forgiving God when we stumble and fall. And another thing that we need to remember in times of failing is that mistakes, setbacks, they're only temporary if we'll get up again. Realize this, that a lack of persistence. Now, I read this years ago and it stayed with me. A lack of persistence is one of the major causes of not finishing in any endeavor in life, but particularly when it comes to serving God. If you want to finish with excellence, you just got to persist. You just got to keep at it. Somebody may remember, this was back in the mid-90s, so obviously those of you that are real young don't, but we had a guest speaker at the old church, 13th and Gravois, by the name of Clayton Porter. Clayton was born without arms, and in fact, just yesterday morning, I don't scroll down Facebook too much, just kind of see the first few things at the top of my feed. I don't do as Nicole Dowell once told me. I saw her at Culver's one night. I said, what are you doing? She was flipping through Facebook. She said, oh, I'm just strolling down Main Street. I don't do that, but at the top of my feed yesterday morning was a video by Clayton Porter. He still lives out in western Missouri. He's a minister there, and he has about a 12-minute video. I think it's Clayton and Melissa Porter is their location on Facebook. Almost said face page. That's what I always say, but you know what I mean. But our Instabook, right? But he was on there in about a 12-minute video. He's playing the harmonica, giving a message, and it was just, again, a little, I'd already planned to talk about him here, but I remember attending youth camps with him in Westphalia, Missouri, the old Missouri District Campground, and as you can imagine, being born without arms, Clayton compensated by using his hands, or his feet, I should say, and toes, as we use our hands and fingers. That's the way he did, and I can remember him with a pen between his toes, signing autographs for all the girls down there at Westphalia. I can remember him going up to the old cafeteria door, that screen door, and with his toes, he'd raise up his leg and open the door, and on he went in. I can even remember him at the concession stand, yes, eating a hot dog with his feet. And this was really a great time several years ago. It hadn't been that long. We were at Missouri District Ministers meeting in Branson, and we were, you know, sitting row by row, theater style, and whoever was leading the service had us come and turn and greet people. And I turned around, and there was Clayton with a big smile on his face, and he brought up that foot, barefoot. He has to have it bare so he can use those toes, and you got it. I shook his foot. And those of you that know me, that was quite a sacrifice. But it was we had a lot of fun with it. So Clayton's a tremendous guy. But in his testimony back in the mid-90s at our church, he related to us, and I took notes of this, that he wasn't able to walk until he was age 4. And he described, as you can imagine, he had trouble with balance. He said he fell hundreds of times, often hitting his head, sometimes so badly he needed stitches. He said the key for him learning to walk, and I noted this, was to get up again and again and again and again. And persistently, he pursued his goal in this instance of learning to walk. And that's what it takes for us if we're going to finish with excellence. We got to keep getting up. Thomas Edison reportedly made over 900 light bulbs that did not work before he made one that did. Abraham Lincoln lost several elections but continued running for office until eventually he was elected 16th president of the United States of America. The Apostle Peter denied knowing Jesus, this man whom he had been with some three and a half years, denied knowing him three separate occasions. But he repented of those lies and kept following the Lord until he got it right and had a tremendous impact on the early church. Micah 7:8 says this, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, and I will fall, but when I fall, I shall arise." By the grace and power of God, when I fall, it's just temporary. It's just short term. It's just for now, not permanent whatsoever. No matter how many times you're knocked down, you got to get up. No matter how many times you're pushed down, you got to keep getting up. No matter how many times you're thrown down by circumstances of life, you got to keep getting up. Rise to your feet. Stand up in your spirit today, because if we'll get up one more time than we fall, we're going to finish with excellence. Run this race with patience or endurance, the race that's before us. And then here is the real key, as Hebrews tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus put us in the race, and he can keep us in the race. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Simply put, he's going to finish what he started in your life as you cooperate with him through his word, through his spirit. In 1992, the Olympics were held in Barcelona. Great Britain's Derek Redmond had dreamed all of his life of winning a gold medal in the 400-meter race. His dream was in sight as the gun sounded to start the semifinals. He was running the race of his life and could see the finish line as he rounded the backstretch heading toward it. But suddenly he felt a sharp pain go up the back of his leg. He fell face first onto the track with a torn right hamstring. And Sports Illustrated, the magazine, recorded the dramatic events. As the medical attendants were approaching, Redmond fought to his feet. "It was animal instinct," he would say later. He set out hopping in a crazed attempt to finish the race. When he reached the backstretch, a large man in a t-shirt came out of the stands, hurled aside a security guard, and ran to Redmond, embracing him. It was Jim Redmond, Derek's dad. "You don't have to do this," he told his weeping son. "Yes, I do," said Derek. "Well then," said Jim, "we're going to finish this together." And they did. Fighting off security men, the son's head sometimes buried in his dad's shoulder, they stayed in Derek's lane all the way to the finish line. They stayed in the race to the end. Whatever it takes, I trust you're feeling this in your spirit. We've got to finish this race. Whatever it takes. In the last days, everything imaginable will try to knock us out of the race, but we've got to finish. And here's the wonderful news. Like Jim Redmond, we have a heavenly Father ready to go with us. You see, God's not just in the stands cheering, is he? He's not just at the finish line waiting for us to get there. The scripture says God is with us, supporting us, strengthening us every step of the way. And in times of testing, in times of trial, we may not feel like going on, but in many respects, just knowing the Lord is with us, beyond feeling his presence and power and being strengthened from that, just knowing he's on our side enables us to persevere another day, to go at it one more time, to get up and keep getting up until we finish. Today, as I bring this to a close, with God's help, we can finish with excellence. He's given us his blood. Think of this, his blood to cleanse us from all sin. And please know that's not just initially, but that's all through our Christian walk. When we stumble and fall, there is blood that's efficacious, it's effective, it works anytime we call on God in sincerity and with repentance. God's grace is powerful to us. He's given us His name with all power invested in it. That name with all authority, and certainly He's given us His Spirit that will abide with us forever. Even when we've strayed or stumbled, God's grace is powerful enough to get us back on track, isn't it? It's powerful enough to get us back in line with His calling, back in line with His purpose, back in line with that good and perfect will that Romans speaks about, so that we too can say, I fought a good fight and finish my course. I want to spend just a few moments here inviting you to pray where you are. And I especially feel to appeal to anybody who stumbled. And we don't like to single anybody out or embarrass anyone. And I guess for that, this is the perfect setting. We're not seeing each other. But if you know in your heart that you've done wrong, you've made a mistake, you've sinned before God, I want you to hear me today. God's mercy endures forever. And I'm encouraging you right there in the privacy of your location as we pray here. We just spend a few moments repenting and asking God to help you get back on track. I'm telling you, there is mercy today. There is cleansing today. There is forgiveness today, and it's complete. It's complete. Sometimes we have more trouble forgiving ourselves than God does forgiving us. And we've got to have that touch of God's presence. And I want to invite you to spend some time praying. And also, I appeal to anybody that's weary. Maybe even weary and well-doing. You've been trying to take care of your family and go through all the schedulings with this new quarantine and just things are kind of weighing down on you. You're doing the right things, but you're just kind of weary today. I encourage you to lift your voice and ask God for fresh strength and fresh perspective that you might endure, that you might finish this race with excellence. Would you just call out to Him from where you are now? We're praying here for you, asking God to strengthen and help and forgive and cleanse. Lord God, You see every individual here that is logged into this live stream service. You know precisely where we are and what we need. And I'm especially asking that You would hear the prayers of repentance today. The prayer of someone that might have stumbled and fallen. Maybe it was unintended and didn't something that wasn't even meant to be done, but it happened. Let cleansing come now. Let forgiveness come now. As there is brokenness and weeping and calling out to You, Lord, let the mercy of the Lord wash over. Let the blood of Jesus that You shed for us, let it cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I know in that forgiveness, there's also a forgetting. You're putting it behind your back today. You're casting it beneath the depths of the sea. As far as the east from the west, You're removing that sin from us. And I thank You. And Lord, I also ask that You'd give special strength to anyone weary in this journey. Doing the right things, yes, but just weary in spirit. Maybe even weary in body. Give fresh strength today. Give renewing and help, I pray, that we might finish this race that You've set us on. That's what's so important. Yes, we've got to begin it. Yes, we've got to carry on, but we've got to finish. Help us not to stop short of the goal or to be sidetracked. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for Your glory. We ask that You would do these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I've just another thing or two to say, and Pastor's going to come and close. But in all sincerity, if you're feeling God's power right now and you don't feel like you need to listen on, it's fine to go off the live stream and have yourself a prayer meeting right where you are. If you need further time with Him, I understand completely. And know He's watching, He's listening, He's hearing. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him turn your life around right where you are, and we'll hear the testimony and we'll celebrate with you of what God has done. You're going to finish by His grace, finish by His power, if you'll just reach out to Him and get the strength you need. So if you need to do that, I completely understand. But let me just close with this. There's a passage of scripture that I only recall hearing preached from one time, a minister by the name of Jerry Harper many years ago, and he entitled his message, The Power of Your Influence. And it was from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. They read, Now Samuel said to all of Israel, Indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you said to me and have made a king over you. If you know Israel's history, God really didn't want them to have a king, but they did, and God acquiesced, and Samuel anointed Saul at God's directive to be their king. Verse 2, he said, And now here is the king walking before you, Saul, and I'm old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are here with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. If you know Samuel's story, you know his mom couldn't bear a son, but promised the Lord if she could have one, she'd give the first one to the service of the temple. And that's what she did. And Samuel was known by all of Israel from his childhood up. He said, "Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, the congregation of the Lord, "You have not cheated or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." What a testimony of finishing with excellence. And I just want to say this to those of you with children, grandchildren, of course, other family relationships, close friends. Finishing with excellence is a powerful example. If you'll pardon the personal reference, I just laid to rest my father, Clement Reaver. And he was 95. It was his time. Don't argue with the Lord for that. And I know he had his quirks and idiosyncrasies, and some people even found them laughable. Don't worry if you're one of those that laughed at him. He was probably laughing back at you. Didn't bother him. But he was a man who, in his sphere, in his realm, finished with excellence. And what a testimony here of Samuel standing before the people. Not one charge. And I just want to encourage you that you're finishing with excellence. It's for you, I know, to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But it has a far-reaching influence. It touches other lives. And best of all, of course, it pleases God, and it's going to result in your salvation. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And if you're thankful for his grace in your life, I want you to lift a hand as Pastor comes to wrap this up. Lift your hand and just thank him for his faithfulness to you, and ask him to, in turn, help you to be faithful to him.
Thank you so much, Jesus.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, God. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for that faithfulness. Hallelujah. 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 Before the service, a song that I had heard a couple of years ago entitled, "We Need a Word from the Lord," came to my mind. And that has happened today. We have heard a word from the Lord of encouragement and direction. A couple of days ago, someone was commenting on some yard signs that hold positive phrases, things like "don't give up" and "God is with you" and various other things. So somebody asked where they could find those, and the answer was don'tgiveup.com. Somebody has incorporated a business that contains the message "don't give up." I'm glad for all of the signs and all of the verses from the Word of the Lord and from messages from the Lord that we can receive. And God has encouraged us today. If there has been failure, we can get back up from that stumble. And if you're on one of the back roads of the race, you know, at the beginning there are crowds, at the end there will be a crowd, but in between, maybe where the real race is won. And so if you're on one of those back roads today, feeling that weariness that Brother Reaver preached about, the Lord is with us and his word will strengthen us. Thank God for that word from the Lord. That scripture, that's a scripture for, I believe, many of us that heard this message today. Micah 7 and verse 8. Just grab a hold of it, read it, and let it be implanted in our hearts. Thank the Lord for his blessings to us.